Welcome, everyone, to this edition of the Not So Common Podcast. This is the Familial Parent Edition, apparently. I'm Pat Country. And yeah, I'm home in Pennsylvania for the week, visiting parents after too many games in Oaks, PA. It was a great weekend. It was great. Whoever came out to see me. Ah, my finger's too close to the screen. For those of you who are only listening to this via MP3 and not watching, my fingers were really close to the iPhone as I'm recording this. I can hear people doing their lawns around here, doing heavy yard work, probably with those earphones over their heads, so I can't hear the weed whacker. Anyway, so Too Many Games was great. I was there with Ian. We had a great podcast segment on that Friday, so you podcast, live recording, you could say, and it went well. There was, the highlight to many people there was we had an argument over Avengers Infinity War and why Thor was being called a pirate and if that was appropriate or not. If that made sense for someone, and you know, like for like a space alien to call someone else, another space alien, a pirate based upon having an eye patch like a traditional pirate would have in the 18th century, 19th century, you know, Earth, planet Earth. Like, it didn't make much sense how it would be the same identification of an alien being identified as a pirate based on eye patch. Anyway, so that went well. But the real reason I was there, besides the CU podcast, was 10th anniversary Pat the NES Punk panel was on Sunday, the 24th, June 24th, which also marks the 10th anniversary of my YouTube career. And I guess you can say internet career, online persona career, second career, you know, even though it was started as a hobby and I quit my day job in 2012. And I spoke about this at my panel on Sunday there. I got a little more emotional than I thought I would about, you know, the journey that I've taken to get here and how it could have been twists and turns. It could have went in other directions. And my life could have turned out a lot differently had I not gone on YouTube, had YouTube not existed, had I gave up on YouTube, which almost happened. So, I mean, you flash back to 2008. A June, you know, plucky, younger Pat. No gray hair Pat then. I think I had one gray hair that I had since college. After a nervous breakdown I had in college, I had like one gray hair in the front, which gradually disappeared. I have a lot of grays now. So that alone, you can see I've aged in 10 years. But, you know, short-haired Pat, spiky-haired Pat, eyes, brows probably a little thinner. Still coming down from that metrosexual phase in the early 20s. In my early 20s when it was popular then. How the eyebrows naturally fill out more. It'd be a lot thinner, people. But so I decided to do this YouTube thing. It was sort of like a gimmick, a lark. In 2008, YouTube was still like, what the hell is YouTube? You know, it's like, oh, I heard about YouTube. That's where you saw some viral clips instead of going on like Break.com, for example, or one of those other viral media sites they had at the time before YouTube wiped them all out and sort of consolidated it. So I had experience. But obviously with NES games, I've been collecting NES games and video games since the late 90s. At this point in time, I've been collecting video games for like 20 years. But I also had some experience doing short films and filming. I mean, I'd done films in college and out of college. I was in a couple film festivals. So I did that. I threw all that knowledge together. I figure, you know, what's the worst I can do with you know, entertaining YouTube videos? I mean, there was, I think I talked about an awful Three Stooges video. I mean, it's actually good that it exists, because if it wasn't for that, I wouldn't be doing this probably. So there's a YouTube video out there of a review of Three Stooges that's so terrible that I said to myself, I can't do worse than that video. It's impossible for me to do worse. I can at least technically be as bad, but at least I know about the Three Stooges. I know about the NES game Three Stooges because I had it as a kid. So that's what I decided to do. And so I did it. And it turned out, I guess, to be decent enough that I gave it a second try after Baseball Stars. Let me back up. The Bad Three Stooges video spurred me to do the Baseball Stars video. But then I decided after that I should probably then do the Three Stooges as my second video. So, by that point, though, it was weird to me. The experience of being online in front of camera, I wasn't comfortable with it yet. And I think for a lot of people, it takes time. And that's the advice I give to anyone trying this out or being brand new at this, is that practice. The only way to get better on camera or in front of people is actually do it. Like, I had massive stage fright up until my, I want to say early 20s or late teens. Probably until I was 19, 20. I had, like, massive stage fright. And then I started doing improv classes and starting to just force myself in front of large crowds and doing performance type things so I could get comfortable, even before this YouTube thing existed, social media, to get comfortable speaking in front of an audience. I mean, I was deathly afraid of doing book reports in front of the classes, like in grade school. It was like the worst anxiety I could possibly have. I was having panic attacks about it. So you're never used to looking at yourself on camera or being performing unless you actually do it in practice. That's the advice I give to people, is like, do it in front of a mirror or speak in front of a mirror, see how you feel more so than look. Like, how do you feel about yourself while you're doing it? How can you adjust internally to that? So by the time the Three Stooges video came around, I wasn't really sure if I was even comfortable in my own skin doing the videos in doing that character. Then the character wasn't even well defined yet. It was myself, but trying to do something else with it. It wasn't as, I guess, as defined as what the NES Punk character would become very soon afterwards. I'd say by even the third or fourth video, it was a lot better defined than those first couple of videos. It got more defined by the Black Box game videos, which were the third videos, and then your Top Secret episode, which was the fourth video in December of 2008. And then by the time you get to Action 52 in 2009, you're pretty much off and running there. And I'd be forgetting one in between. Oh, the Power Pad games. Yeah. I got comfortable enough to be in my freaking Mario boxer briefs, within a year of doing it. But anyway, so it was always a nice outlet doing the Pat the NES Punk videos, because I had a soul-crushing job that I've spoken about a lot of times, where I'm working 55, 60-hour work weeks regularly, getting paid decently. I wasn't getting paid as much as I was working, or what my worth was, or my value. A lot of you out there probably think the same way, but I definitely wasn't. I was doing the work of two to three people, so it was high stress, a lot of time. And so the NES Punk videos were an outlet, and then soon the Flea Market Madness videos were an outlet. And speaking of the Flea Market Madness, that was always a weird thing in my YouTube career, because I originally shot the first Flea Market Madness in 2008, like right before or right around the time I shot the NES Punk Baseball Stars original episode. So I shot both, and was wondering what I should do with all this. And I didn't edit that and put out that NES Punk episode. It's my parents' phone, their old ass phone. I didn't put out that Flea Market Madness episode until 2009, a year later. Then it goes up on Game Trailers. I spoke about this before, and in Game Trailers, I got like 25,000 views or 30,000 views, which at the time means that was massive on Game Trailers. So, and then you're off and running there. About a year in, I'm pretty confident about myself, even though Channel Awesome was not getting back to me and rejecting me. I knew at least at the time that I was respected, even a year in amongst my peers. So, I was posting everywhere. I was posting on the Channel Awesome forums. I was posting my videos. I was posting on the Screw Attack. I think not necessarily the forums. About a year in 2000, late 2009, I guess, dealing by 2010, when they relaunched Screw Attack 2.0, 3.0, they had like their user submission system. You got points for G1 points for submitting, so they would feature me on like Sundays. But Game Trailers was great and instrumental. Whoever was out there, I wish I knew his name. Whoever was running the user submissions and the spotlighting them for Game Trailers helped me a lot, because I remember the Black Box games when I cut them up, and those were 30 individual videos for 30 Black Box games. When I cut them up and put them on Game Trailers, that person ran almost all of them for the feature. Then the trick was, if you submitted on like a Thursday night, on Friday it would come up, he would pick it, and it would be there all weekend long. And now I think I only had two videos ever featured on the scroll bar on Game Trailers. I think it was Chiller was the one feature. Then I did the Video Game History Museum video of 2000 and fuck, 2012, not 11, 11 or 12 with Rue, and that was featured. But it was good to get the word out about me. And yes, those Game Trailers comment sections, you guys on YouTube, you guys say whatever you want. It doesn't affect me, because I was trained. I cut my teeth on the awful Game Trailers user comments. You think YouTube is bad? You think you guys are bad? You think you guys are good at trolling? No. Game Trailers was straight up, I hope you die, I hope you get AIDS, I hope you get cancer. That's what Game Trailers comment sections were like. I'm gonna beat the shit out of you. You're copying James, or you're copying the nerd, I should say. That's what those comment sections were like back then. Speaking of James, I give James a lot of credit in helping to elevate my status as well, because you know, he gave me the time of day, obviously, going back to the AVGN NWC video in 2011, even though that didn't personally get me a lot of subscribers at the time. In the grand scheme of things, people, I guess, knew me from that even years later. So even from this past weekend, I had people saying, oh, I love that video with you and James. So that was great. And I was thanking for that because, I mean, here's a guy just starting out. I have maybe six videos under my belt besides the Flea Market Madness. I email him for SGC 2010, which was the first ever convention I know I've ever done and been at, was there as a guest. So I emailed James. I'm like, here, we're both from Jersey. Check out these videos. You're going to be at SGC. I'm going to be at SGC. And he actually responded to my email, which I didn't even in 2008, he was probably getting 50 emails a day. He responded to it, and he enjoyed the videos. I think I said to Flea Market Madness, he watched that. The Russian attack video, he said he enjoyed with that elaborate Rob fight. But I always forget I did that video with my cousin, that we actually filmed that over like a six-hour time frame. That was fun. But he gave me the time of day. We met at SGC, and we were like the oldest people there at SGC. By like we were older by an average of 15 years. We were both 30 there, I believe, and people are running around with their parents are waiting on out like an offshoot room. There was a room for parents to sit at SGC 2010. That's how young it was. At my, if you guys, I didn't do video of my panel at Too Many Games, but I actually asked the audience, is there anyone here who was at my panel at SGC 2010, because there was only about 10 to 12 people total that were even there, maybe 15. And a guy raises his hand in the back room. I hadn't come up. Middle of the panel talking about it for like 5 minutes. I asked him how old he was. I said, what are you, like 26, 28? He said he was 20. He was 10 years old at my panel in 2010. But I made the most of that panel. And I think that at least it maybe didn't impress so much the goers there, the people that were the attendees. But like James was there, Spoonie was there, and Pro Jared were there. And Jared wasn't as big as he was now. He was still sort of like, you know, a ScrewAttack employee. But he was talented. He's always talented. But at least people that knew me or knew my work or respected me, even if I wasn't known, even if I only had like 800 subscribers on YouTube or 1,000 subscribers on YouTube, at least these guys were like, oh, this guy's pretty cool. I remember going to one of the earlier MAGFests I went to, probably 2011 or 2010. Let's see, what was the first one I went to? Probably 2011 was the first MAGFest. It's the last one they did in the old hotel before going to the Gaylord. And then I remember Linkara Lewis seeing me outside the elevator and going, hey, Pat, what's going on? And I was like shocked. It's because like at the time, Linkara was seen as a god on Channel Awesome. He was one of the probably the top three or four creators there in terms of popularity, and he had like a swarm of people around him by the elevator, and he stopped talking to them for like just like a few seconds to say hi to me, who had no one around me. Who would be around me? Like, who cares? You know, who would care now? But like, who cares about that? But all these people were you know, not surrounding him but around him, and then they're looking at me like, who the hell am I? Why is Lewis talking to me? So I always had like this weird respect for my peers, even though, you know, my work wasn't well known. I talk about how Spoonie, I give Spoonie credit for taking a chance of working for me on that Highlander Endgame video, because at the time, you know, there was no real reason for Spoonie to work with me. And Spoonie, again, he was like probably, he could have been arguably the second biggest person on Channel Awesome at the time. And he was a huge YouTuber, Spoonie, 2007, 2008, 2009, 2010. Like, he was gigantic then. And so he does the video with me, and that helped too. That just helped expand the audience. So there's a lot of factors there besides, yeah, I put in the work. I put in a lot of energy to, you know, put out a lot of NES Punk videos and Flea Market Madnesses. And this is even the first, I'll say the first 5 years of my career before I even get to this CU podcast. And you know, the ups and downs, some videos didn't do as well. Some hit or miss, or some videos I can't watch of mine anymore that I've done. But that's like any creator. They grow, they change. Not everything you put out there is going to be even a double, let alone a home run. But then you get to like the CU podcast 5 years in with Ian. We do this podcast together. I always wanted to do a podcast. I just do these like hangouts, like live hangout stuff on Ustream that I would then put on YouTube, and those were terrible. I don't know if they're on YouTube anymore. But anyway, so the podcast comes out, and obviously the podcast helps grow the channel. I'd say 7 years in, first year and a half after the podcast, it really wasn't growing much. Did my mom turn off the central air? I'm like wiping sweat off my nose here. It's just like being back home when I was in New Jersey. My mom would turn the air conditioner off during the summer, which is why I would get nosebleeds in the middle of the night. I used to have like chronic nosebleeds for a lot of my childhood. I'd wake up and blood would be over the pillow like a horror movie. Jesus. You know, I'd yell for mom to put the AC back on. I guarantee she turned the AC off. I'm gonna be sweating like a dog now. Anyway, so it's been a wacky sort of wacky ride, and you know, other things have come up since then. I now have two podcasts, not the first. I have the Not So Common podcast, which I think you're watching right now. Maybe. Are you watching this? If a tree falls in the woods and no one hears it. I have the NES guidebook. I have a Super Nintendo book on the way. I have other ideas for books. I'm doing this documentary, not for resale. I'm executive producing that. I'm executive producing and consulting on... I'm also consulting on the documentary, but I'm also consulting on an independent video game. I'm in talks to do other work like that. So, you know, you're never in the same place you were 10 years ago, but you're also never where you think you're going to end up. But the good news is that I ended up where I am right now because I can't imagine being back at my soul-crushing job. I should trademark that, soul-crushing job. SCJ. My SCJ. Because I don't know where I'd be. I'd be back in Jersey, not California. I moved out to California to try to do screenwriting. I'm sure I talk about that much because I wrote a couple screenplays, feature length ones, and then never really took off here because I never got time to really process with all the soul crushing job. Have time to really be creative and write, but I can at least do these short videos, these short NES Punk videos still, whether it's playing Super Dodgeball. And really playing dodgeball and going through that process, doing the College 6-1 video, doing a TurboGrafx-16 Christmas video, having someone named Denise show up in my videos, shooting something with a dominatrix. It always seemed to at least fill that hole in my heart that I was doing something that at least some of you out there thought was fun. Of course, I still get Pat 10 years later, you still can act comments, or 10 years later, I still want to punch you in the face. Well, thanks. You know, I'm here. Give it a try. Maybe punch me in the face will make my acting skills finally come out. So I'm humbled that at least some of you guys hate me and still watch me, but you're still helping me out by doing that. But I'm humbled that I've gotten to this point in my life because a lot of people don't last even a few years on YouTube or social media, or they burn out and they move on. I found this sort of niche where I think I can be comfortable doing what I'm doing. And I enjoy doing what I'm doing. You guys enjoy it. I can live off it. And so everyone wins. But the haters don't. But everyone else wins. There's some people that go to conventions I see that talk shit about me online but don't say anything to my face. They hate that I'm doing this video. They wish I would go away. Well, guess what? I ain't going away. And you're going to hear more about me and my projects for the next 5-10 years. Oh, I mean, I'll probably step out of limelight at some point. But for now, I'm here. So what was I saying? I'm looking at my computer here about stuff I should talk about. The 10th anniversary of the NES Punk. So there is a 10th anniversary video coming out. If you're on my Patreon, patreon.com/PatCountry, the first 4 minutes, a rough cut of the first 4 minutes, is up to view. I cannot finish it. I'm at my parents' house. I don't have my laptop computer with the editing software on it that's powerful enough to edit. That's the MacBook Air. Can't do it. I don't have the external hard drives to edit, but when I get home, I'll do it. It'll get out there, and hopefully, guys say I still can't act because I find that endearing because you don't know that it's written that way, which I think is cute still. But lovable, goofable NES Punk character. And go back to watch, read that Wired article from a few months back about me. You can Google Pat Contry Wired article. It should come up, and that gives you some insight into what's been going on in my life and things I've been thinking about in terms of where does the NES Punk character end up. You know, I don't make money off the NES Punk character. I almost never have. The only way you really quantify how, in terms of any sort of actual profit versus time put in, would be like, I guess the few DVDs I put out, or the wristbands. I gotta find the wristbands right now. That's really it. That, you know, I even 3-4 years in, I always kind of knew that, like, I'm never gonna be like one of the biggest YouTubers. I'm never gonna have a million subscribers or 2 million subscribers. I sort of resigned myself to that. Because I didn't want to get caught up in that rat race to begin with. And now you hear about YouTubers burning out trying to even reach that status. I mean, I know some YouTubers, I won't call them out by name, I know personally, that have been burnt out for years, just with the YouTube struggle. I mean, I think I've been semi-burnt out just on everything, including the book and the DVDs and all the travel, but just burnt out on the YouTube grind every week after week, trying to, you know, put out the content and get it out there and get it in the algorithm, get it seen, and the algorithm changes, and then their videos, their views plummet, and their revenue plummets, and blah, blah, blah. So it's a tough grind. But I will say this, though. So the NES Punk videos, if I can simplify them and still do them every now and then, that's fine. Flea Market Madness is another story. I have about 10 to 12 shot, and I can edit those, but it's going to get more and more depressing to edit them because it's less and less stuff that are in them that are entertaining. And some of you might say, well, it's funny just to follow you along, but it's not fun for me to go out to the events, to the flea market, and not find anything, and it's not funny to edit them. It's not fun to edit them at all. And I don't want to do something I don't enjoy. So there's YouTubers out there that do content they don't enjoy, and I never want to be that. That's something I always want to stay away from. I mean, part of the reason I did the podcast, I want to do the podcast with Ian, because I can talk about things I want to talk about. And for the most part, we talk, 95% of things we talk about are stuff we really want to talk about. And so thanks to Ian for coming on board and sticking with the CU podcast. I think he said he thought the podcast would last 6 months. Which I don't know why he said that, because when I say I'm going to do something and try to stick to it, I do it. I usually don't give up on things. When I say I'm going to move out to California from Jersey, I'm going to do it. When I say I'm going to do a DVD, I'm going to do it. When I say I'm going to play every NES game in one weekend, or excuse me, in one day, or I think it was 30-something hours. When I say I'm going to do that, I'm going to fucking do it. Word, your integrity means something. And should for all of you out there, your word should mean something. And thanks again for people that have supported the NES Marathon the past, Jesus Christ, 9 years, 8 years, helping raise over $100,000 for both children's hospitals and for disaster relief, which was the last year. So, and that'll come back. I am probably going to start streaming either on Twitch and or Facebook Gaming. People are starting to do that. I think Norm is doing Facebook Gaming versus Twitch. I think Gerard's doing both. And I think there's a creative outlet there for me. Plus, I'm also going to be playing games to help finish up the Super Nintendo book. So why not play Super Nintendo games while you guys watch me? It's just deciding how I'm going to do it. Emulators kind of frowned upon, or I can do like the analog, Super NT analog, but it has to have like a screen capture thing on it. I'm rambling? No, it's just a weird journey again that my life could have went in a totally different direction if I decided to quit after that Three Stooges video. Because I almost did. I almost shelved that second NES Punk video, that Three Stooges video. It almost didn't come out. But I did that third video, which was the Black Boss games, and I was off and running. And I was like, okay, I think I got, I at the point, I think, like, I think I had this figured out a little bit. I know the attitude of the character or how I want to present. I know now the sense of humor I should be presenting. Not too ordinary, not too vulgar, because that's covered by another YouTuber. Like, I kind of figured it out. I figured it out there. I see other highlights from this 10 years. Nintendo Bohemian Rhapsody, that helped a lot, working with Brent. We both wrote the song. He obviously did the lyrics. He didn't make that much off it in terms of time and money. He lost money working on that, unfortunately. I mean, he had friends help compose that and do the audio mixing and play the instruments and the guitar and everything. But that video went viral. It got taken down off his site by the Nintendo Bohemian or people or the Freddie Mercury estate. They said it wasn't parody, which I thought it was. And Brent's like, well, we can't really fight it over the money. So it's still up on my channel. It went viral on my channel. I think it got like 300,000 views in a few weeks. And that's viral for us. I mean, at least back then. That was 2012. Was it 2012? Yeah, it was 2012. We did that for an NES marathon. Put that out. But yeah, I'm proud of the work I've done. I'm proud of the consistency of work overall. In terms of, I have never taken a long break. Like, not that you should take breaks every now and then. I should have taken a break, honestly, back in December and January when I was moving. I should have done that. But, you know, it's a very fragile ecosystem, YouTube, with algorithms and people's taste changing and the video style du jour. You know, should I do the top 10 trends? Should I do the is it worth it trend or any other trend that's out there? I'm not saying if you're a creator, you can't do that. But for me, I never wanted to chase what I knew was going to get those hits, because then my thought was always, yeah, I could do that, But then, do I want my brand to become that style of videos? And then what am I really then? Do people want to watch the videos for me and my content and my personality and my opinions? Or they just want to watch any other person can then do the same top 10? Any other person can do that other style of video that I'm doing right now because I know it's popular. And I always want to try to avoid that. Because in the grand scheme of things, then you're selling yourself short, because then you're focusing more on being not even a trendsetter, a trend follower. And you're really then just seeing, how can I game the system of YouTube, or how can I at least keep up with the YouTube system, versus working on what you like to do. Like James never followed the trends. He just said, I'm going to do these short films that I enjoy doing. I have an audience that likes them, and the hell with the rest of it. And it works for him. Then again, he's sort of detached from the YouTube stuff, which I wish I was. But and I tried the Let's Play thing with Ian. Fortunately, didn't get off the ground, because that's when he first got his NES. His nerve entrapment syndrome, he got his NES. He actually got the NES. Fortunately, he's a lot better now, physically, so that's good. But the Not So Common podcast is fun. You guys are watching it now. I'm trying to think of anything else I should talk about with that. Let me talk about this real quick before I get into nostalgia. To finish up on this topic, or the 10th anniversary topic, thanks so much to everyone out there for sticking with this. And it's always heartwarming to hear, like, oh, I've been watching your videos since, like, Kyle's Run 6-1, or since, like, Black Box Games, or since, like the OG Pat fans, all 400 of you out there that were there from, like, the first year or so. Well, Kyle's Run would be 2 years in, I think. That was December 2010, the first video Ian was in. But the NES Punk 10th anniversary video is going to come out soon. I have to go home and edit it. I wish I could edit it here. I wish I could, like, log into my... Isn't there software you can, like, log into your computer and use the resources and software, and be a slight delay? I used to do that at my work job. They didn't know that. I used to, like, remote log into my computer and then surf the net on that system. So then they couldn't tell I was surfing the web on the on their computer. They just saw that I was logged in somewhere. But they couldn't see on my computer's web browser back in Jersey what I was doing. At least I hope so. I was not doing anything bad. But nowadays, you have a freaking smartphone, which I'm recording on. Beautiful. The smartphone looks better than the first camcorder I did. That first HD camcorder I had, which was barely HD. Or I had the SD one first, which I bought for my sister's wedding. I bought that Sony for my sister's wedding. Then I bought the Canon one with the tapes. The mini DV tapes, which was almost full HD. It was like 1440 by... 1440 by 960 instead of 1280 times 960. So it's been fun. It's been fun, and it's not going to end anytime soon. I'm going to put up pre-orders. I'm going to put up pre-orders on ultimatesnes.com. So right now that redirects to, I think it redirects just my Shopify account for a certain NES guidebook and other things and DVDs. So check it out. Help support me by checking out that guidebook. And by the way, thanks again for that. That was overwhelming, the support for back in the, was that fall of 2015, almost 3 years ago. That Kickstarter was overwhelming, the support. And the pre-orders after that. I did almost as many pre-orders after the Kickstarter, before the book came out, as I did to that point. And so that was overwhelming. And so I know at the time I said I didn't want to do a Super Nintendo book, but I think people really responded to that book in a way, because no book was done like that before, with that sort of size and quality, that sort of in-depth look at the whole library, not just an art book. Nothing had been done like that before for the NES, and I would argue nothing still has been done like that for the NES. So I figured, why not put out a Super Nintendo book just like that? And so it's like 80% done. There's going to be a Kickstarter in the fall for it. But if you don't want to wait, I will put up, and I will have an official announcement probably on the CU podcast or on social media. I will have like pre-Kickstarter orders. Like if you want to save a little bit of money and just get it on there, I'm going to put that up on my website as well at ultimatenes.com, ultimatesnes.com. I think I own multiple domains of these that redirect, and I will have that up within the next few weeks, we'll say. My year is basically going to start. My year that I thought was going to start like in March is going to start now in July, because now that Castle Contra is being worked on, and the NES Punk 10th anniversary is out of the way. I'm a lot more rested than I was even a few months ago. I could tell, you guys might not be able to tell. You go back and watch me like those January and February podcast clips. I look I am destroyed from, I'd say, the last 3 months of 2017. So I'm a lot better place right now. A lot better place. Before I get to the next topic, let me tell you about sponsored Dollar Shave Club. Right now, you can go to dollarshaveclub.com/pat, and you could look at the executive razor there. Six-bladed razor, comes with four cartridges. It's only $1. It's $1. Free shipping, no commitment. You cancel any time. I use the razor. Ian, when he has shaved, has used it. I've been hearing nothing but good feedback about it. So go to dollarshaveclub.com/pat. Get that executive razor. Try it out. No commitment. It's a trial. $1. Cancel anytime. Free shipping. Dollar for a nice razor with four cartridges. You can't beat that with a stick. Yeah. That's what's going on there. And I don't have any way to edit this, so I'm freeballing this right now. I'm not using the Dollar Shave Club on my ball, though. But I'm freeballing this. I'm not putting any graphics here because I don't have any editing software for that. So I went to a casino literally last night. I had to take a power nap to record this. I almost got into a fight. I was playing Shaq Blackjack. Now, this casino, I'm guessing I don't know what casinos have this too. They have these like you have the dealer now. It's like communal blackjack. There's like 25, 30 people that can bet on the same blackjack hand. So you have a dealer up dealing three community hands that you choose on your video. You get up your own video screen, you put your money in, you hit buttons. But it's real blackjack. It's not video blackjack because the dealer is doing it and a camera's looking at what the dealer is doing with them dealing the hands out and then the house hand, the dealer hand. So you pick one of three hands to play. You can switch after every hand, and then you put in your bet obviously for each hand, and then it's the same rules as blackjack. You see the dealer, put the two cards, and then you hit, you can stand, you can split, you can double down, you can get insurance if the dealer is showing an ace. Not going to get into the total rules of blackjack here, but there was this douchebag with a red tomato-like face, smoking and drinking, and 2 years away from a stroke. You know, he's probably, let's put it this way, he's probably 30. But from the amount of stresses, basically, he looked like he was 40 at least, or 45. I looked younger than him. And he was getting pissed constantly because I guess, I mean, blackjack, if you know how to bet blackjack, you have a roughly 50% chance if you do the proper betting. If you know what to bet when your face card is showing versus the dealer's card, like the face card dealer's card showing versus the two card your total, like you have to know what to do in general in order to get to 50-50. But you know, in general, it's like 48% chance of winning at blackjack. It's never going to be 50% at any game in a casino. It never is. The closest you get to is blackjack and craps. If you know how to bet, you get close to 50%, but never really 50%. Otherwise, the casinos go out of business. So he was getting pissed because some people were like you're playing your own hand. So picture being at a table. So 10 people can be playing hand number two, 2 people can be playing hand number one, and 5 people can be playing hand number three. So you're waiting for the other people to guess because some people can hit more on one hand than the other people. So you have to wait. And then the cards keep getting deployed to the other people. But if you're on your hand and you're done, if you held, say you have 17, you're that's it. You're fine. You stand. You still have to wait for the other two hands to go through. But you don't see what cards are. But he was just getting so pissed and belligerent at people splitting hands or hitting when he thought they shouldn't. And blackjack players are the worst at doing this, especially when you're live, because they're superstitious lot. They're idiots because they think that, like, if you say the dealer's showing a three, and you have 14, the book will tell you that you should not hit, that you should stand there. You should stand at 14 or 15, whatever. And if the dealer's showing three, they are more likely than not to bust trying to get to 17. First card will probably be like a 9 or a 10. They'll get like 13 or 12, and they'll get another 9 or 10. They'll get 22 or 23 and bust. That's the law of averages. It doesn't happen every time. So what these superstitious morons will yell at you, and I've seen it happen myself and other players, that if they don't think you're making the correct bet and the dealer doesn't bust or then beats their hand, they will yell at you for screwing up the hand for everyone when it's all fucking dumb luck what the next card is going to be. All luck. So this guy was yelling. He yelled at me 2 times. We got into it because he was saying, because I was splitting face cards when the, and I was basically splitting 20, which you're not supposed to do in general, but it was working for me. I was splitting it when the dealer was showing like a 2 or 3 or 4, because what would happen then is when it, if I had like a king and a queen and I split it, I'm not sure you're allowed to do it. I thought you were supposed to be able to split the same card, but it was allowing you to split like a king and a queen, or splitting a jack and a king. So I was splitting it and starting with 10 for each, and I was getting like a king and ace, which is 21, not blackjack when you split, but I was getting like 21 or 20 and 19 a lot. And I'd say 3/4 of the time when I split versus a bad dealer hand, I was winning both hands. So it was working out for me. But that guy was yelling every time it didn't work out for him after it worked out for me, because, you know, more cards for me, the dealer then has different cards when they finally hit, because the dealer hits last after all the players go through and hit and take more cards. So he was just being an asshole to me and other people. And I was telling him to relax. He's like, come on, dude, calm down. And he was just like yelling and saying, fuck off to me. It's like, shut the fuck up. Because here's the deal, people. Don't be that blackjack player. Because here's the thing. If you're going to complain when someone takes a card when you don't think they should, and it, quote unquote, ruins the shoe for them, and then they don't win, are you going to come over and give me a hand job when I make the bad decision that you don't like, and then the dealer then busts and then you win? No, of course you're not going to do that. It's superstitious bullshit. Don't be an asshole when you're gambling. And the guy can say like, oh, well, we got hundreds of dollars at stake here. It's like, yeah, so do I, asshole. Yeah, I'm losing $500 too. You know, anyone going a bad run of luck and messing up the shoe, like, oh, it's the butterfly effect. One card's going to ruin the whole shoe for everyone. No, it's random what the next card's going to be. It's fucking random. They reshuffle a lot in blackjack. It's fucking random. You know, it's the dumbest thing I've ever heard of. Idiotic. I will say that it was fun. It's fun, though, doing this Shaq blackjack. And by the way, it's just licensing. You see, like, Shaq's face on it. He's all goofy. And then, like, on the footrest, you see Shaq's big size, whatever, fucking 20s sneaker. And you try to compare your foot size to Shaq. And you hear, like, from Shaq, place your bets. No more bets. And that's it. That's Shaq Blackjack. That's the only involvement with Shaq Blackjack. This isn't like, there's not like slam dunks happening. There's no NBA Jam cutscenes when you get up. I think the only thing is there's like a little like 2005 era CG Shaq that dances around when you get blackjack. It's really the minimal amount of Shaq in a blackjack game, which is probably fine. I think someone asked me, does Kazam show up? Or excuse me, Shazam show up in there, you know. Anyway, it was a fun weekend, though. Even though I lost money at blackjack, I've been on a bad run of gambling the past few weeks there. But that to that person out there, fucking just relax and don't have a stroke playing blackjack. Just deal with your own fucking screen. And I told him that. And he said something like he was going to like fight me or always going to beat up a girl in the casino, like reference me. So you're not going to do fucking shit. You're going to lose your money the same way everyone else is. The casino's going to win. And it's funny. The casinos don't care. The casinos won't actually do anything until someone starts fighting because they want to keep the game going. So, like, when he's yelling at me and other people and I'm yelling back, they don't do anything at the casino because that's because people, they know people get pissed. They want as much money to come in as possible to be bet. You know, any slowdown in that, the casino loses money if people aren't betting. So unless he was, like, kind of come over and do something, they're not going to do anything. And he wasn't going to do anything either. So a fun ghoul to that guy. There's a little Italian, New Jersey-ness for you there. I went back to my old neighborhood in New Jersey. My parents, I'm in Pennsylvania right now. I'm in steamy Pennsylvania, humid Pennsylvania. Went back to New Jersey, the old neighborhood, and I took some pictures of the old house there. I choked up. My parents sold the house a few years ago, and they gave me no warning. It was like, it went from... Yeah, they were thinking about selling the house to the next time I talked to my dad 2.5 months later. Yeah, the house is sold and we're moving. I was like, what the fuck? Didn't have a chance to go back and visit it. Because I hadn't been back to the house at that point in like 3 years, 3-4 years for Thanksgiving or Christmas, the ghost house. So I went back to the neighborhood taking pictures. I mean, a lot of the houses look the same. But I saw where my cats were buried. So I choked up a teeny bit with that. I almost wanted to climb the fence to go to the backyard. My dad said no. I was like, okay, I'm not going to do that. He was even concerned maybe walk on the side of the house where there wasn't a fence. I don't care what the fuck they're going to do. Kids used to run through our yard all the time. You know, I took pictures. I took pictures where I used to play street tennis and street hockey. We had a little cul-de-sac at the end of the street. And I actually, like, Had one of those like really bad sudden emotional choke ups where you're ready to ball cry. Like, you know those ones that, you know those times where you're gonna cry where you don't expect it. It's like a bam, it hits you. I got that hit of nostalgia and memories like rushing to me, where I was like, and you know what it was? Where I lived, it was peculiar. There was like more like the block was like circular. Like there was a cul-de-sac, then there was like a circular block. It wasn't like straight streets going left to right. It was like an oval. So I choked up. I wanted to do the lap around this like oval where all these houses were. And I had done that walk, I don't know, 6,000 times throughout my childhood and teenage and my 20s. I used to run a lot. I'd run around that and do that loop. You know, so I did that walk all the time to go towards my friends or to come back or just to walk around and just get some fresh air. Even when I came back and visited after I moved out into an apartment in my mid to late 20s, I would just do that. So I actually took a video of me doing that walk, and I would make sure I wasn't looking down, because when you look at the video of at an event or through your phone, like you're not. It's not up here. It's in your phone. So I make sure to like record, but then I'm looking around to take it all in. Could be the last time I go back there. I don't know. But I fucking choked. Like it was like the literal choke up. I could almost started bawling like a child in the middle of the street. It was close. Like it like caught me by surprise. Like all like seeing like the exact houses the way they were, and picturing my like little 5-year-old Pat, 7-year-old Pat, 10-year-old Pat walking around there. Like, it was, wow, like, that had never happened to me before, that sort of experience. Like, wow, I am now going back 30 years, 25 years to young, chubby, cute Pat eating way too much Tasty Cake and Drake's Cakes, which I'll get into, and going through that same experience again, and it just hit me. That ever happened to you, that, like, holy shit, couldn't believe that. It really hit me. Like, it was like a quarter second where I'd have neighbors coming out of the house saying, first of all, who the hell are you? Why are you crying in the middle of the street? Get out of the middle of the street, because I leave and go to work. That's what would happen. But, saw the old neighborhood. Probably a good thing that the people that own my old house weren't home, because I would demand to go inside and then see, like, still feel the ghost there, and then I'd finally let so there's ghosts in the house. But yeah, speaking of Tasty Cakes, it's not a sponsor. I picked up some Tasty Cakes. This is why I was a chubby kid. Part of the reason why, besides I didn't exercise that much and played too much NES. How about the Tasty Cakes, chocolate cupcakes right there? How about those? How about those you got there? You got the good old crimpets. You got the crimpets, quality crimpets there. Those are good. Butterscotch. You got the yodels. So Drake's Cakes. Unlike Tasty Cakes, oh, did I show the Tasty Cake first? Yeah. Tasty Cake, that's a Tasty Cake. Crimpets is Tasty Cake. Butterscotch Crimpet. So you can get Tasty Cakes in, I think, a large chunk of the U.S. You can find it even in San Diego. Drake's, though, like the Drake's Yodel, the ones that Hostess ripped off, like the Drake's originals, like the Ring Dings that were stolen by Hostess to make Ding Dongs, like Devil Dogs, and like these are Swiss Rolls. These are Hostess Swiss Rolls, but they really were Yodels. So this is the stuff, this is the OG stuff right here. You can't find this stuff in California. Here's the iconic Devil Dogs. I haven't had one. This is the driest substance on the face of the earth, the Devil Dogs. And if you're listening to this for the audio version, the Devil Dog is two extremely dry. Oh, they describe it. 8 cream-filled Devil Foos Cakes. Yes, the Devil's Foos Cakes was drier than the Mojave Desert. Like Dunkin' in milk. Funny bones in the back. So funny bones were these peanut filled substances. They also used to have Sunny Doodles and Yankee Doodles, which were like the set of 3 cupcakes. They still make the Yankee Doodles, but not the Sunny Doodles. Do I have any other candy or stuff around? I think I bought a few more types so I can get fat. So I bought this all in Pennsylvania. I went to Friendly's too, by the way. I got the peanut butter cup Sunday. So after I visited my neighborhood, I'm gonna wrap this up soon. Went to my Toys R Us. I actually looked online and saw that my Toys R Us, this was on Monday. On Sunday night, I looked and saw that my Toys R Us in my local one in Woodbridge, New Jersey was closing. I think it's closing Friday. It said there was like 4 days left. on that Monday, or closing Thursday or Friday. So I go in there, and I got, and speaking of getting choked up, oh, that was, yeah, I got choked up there too. But fortunately for my, you know, potential public embarrassment, the layout had changed so much since my childhood. I mean, it changed. I mean, I've gone there before I moved out to San Diego in 2009, so I knew it changed. Like, the video games were no longer in the back. They no longer had, like, the cage in the front where you got it. The aisles were no longer vertical in the store with a couple of horizontal ones. Now they're all horizontal aisles in the Toys R Us. So the layout of the Toys R Us was entirely different. They probably changed that, I'm guessing, in the early 2000s or late 90s. They changed that layout. So maybe 2000, mid-2000s. So I understood that. But I stuck around the little barrier. There was like no one behind. There's a barrier and a sign that said no one behind this point is allowed unless you're buying fixtures and shelves. So everything in the Toys R Us is for sale. Everything, like all the fixtures, all the display cases. They're not going to be able to sell a lot of that stuff. They're just not. They're gonna hope that someone buys out all the Toys R Us locations, and then whoever takes it over is gonna want those fixtures because they ain't selling that shit. They're not. I almost felt like buying, well, when I was in California, they had the big ladders that would go up to like the 10 feet and things like that, with like the sturdy things, like a library, and the shelves were great. But I bought a few things there. I figured I'd want one more Toys R Us, receipt right there. What did I buy? Something that was $5.99 that was 70% off for $180. Something that was $10.99 I got for $3.30. And something that was $14.99 that I got for $4.50. So, great deals. It wasn't 90% off. I don't know. How can it not be 90% off with 3 days left? Shouldn't it be 95% off? They had rows and rows of Skylanders figures. I'm going to tweet out some of these pictures. If I had editing software on me, I would have edited this in right now. But they had rows and rows of Skylanders figures for 30 cents each. They're probably originally like $7.99 or $9.99. 30 cents each. I'm talking the old Odd Lot or Odd Job rows that you see in the late 80s where Star Wars figures aligned everywhere. They brought all that shit out from the back because didn't they stop selling Skylanders figures a couple years ago? Didn't we cover that on the podcast? Well, I thought they weren't doing that anymore. Disney and all that stuff. Rows of figures for 30 cents each that you can tell that wasn't the original location. They were just getting them out of the back. They had fucking pallets of them. Not all the same. There's probably like 5 or 6 different ones. But I was going to say, why don't I buy one of these? But I didn't have a connection to it. So it's like, whatever. But I found a few things I bought. They had a few different amiibos there. They had, I think all were Animal Crossing. They had a bunch of one. They only had one of this guy. So I bought this guy. It was cuter. I forgot. I think they had the fox character. Or it's like a raccoon character. But I got Tom Nook amiibo. I don't think this is worth anything because I wanted to buy something. So I got Tom Nook there. He's adorable. I should probably use him to transfer my old Mii from my Wii U to my Switch. Because I'm pissed I don't have my Mii on my Switch. So we got him there. Then we got... this was the only one they had left there. And again, I bought it because I didn't know they had these at all at Toys R Us. I got a World of Nintendo Villager figure. All of a sudden, I'm a freaking Animal Crossing fan. This was laying there. They didn't have any Legos left there in the store at all. They did have a decent amount of stuff. They had a lot of strollers. If you're having kids or want to have a kid one day, 70% off strollers. That's a nutso deal. Like, go to a Toys R Us the next couple days before they're all gone and buy that baby shit that's there. Don't buy, not baby shit, but the shit that's associated with babies. So I got that one. And this was something goofy. This was opened up, so I made sure, I think most of the stuff is in there. But I'm going to put this together and have this on the podcast. So this will be my last remembrance of getting some of Toys R Us. I got this Mega Constructs Ripley figure in the Power Loader suit. That's what I got. I got that one there. So, yeah, that'll be cute right there. Ian will be jealous. But someone had opened both of them that were left for some reason. But, I mean, I took the instructions out of the other ones. This one didn't have instructions. But I looked, and I thought all the bags were here in terms of pieces. If not, well, screw me then. So that was my Toys R Us visit, and I choked up
when I was leaving out the front door. I can say that without shame, because that will literally be the last time I walk out of a Toys R Us store. My local Toys R Us in San Diego, I didn't go to it. I didn't give a shit about it. I may have bought one thing in the San Diego Toys R Us near me since I moved there the past 9 years. So that doesn't mean much to me at all there. But, you know, times change. You get older. Your parents sell your childhood house. Your big box stores go out of business. Your Toys R Us go out of business. You get gray hairs. You celebrate 10-year anniversaries at your job or with your significant other or partner or on YouTube. Maybe that's where we should end this up. Things change. Times change. The light's getting low here, so it's getting grainy on my iPhone. But again, thanks so much for sticking with me. I hope to put out more material and content that you enjoy, and not just podcasts and YouTube stuff, but documentaries in the future. I have an idea for other projects, independent video games. I have an idea for an independent video game, something I've been talking about for years, actually. I have that NES app at ios.ultimatenes.com or droid.ultimatenes.com. I got the ultimatenes.com. Check out the book. So, yeah, follow this. If you're on YouTube, click that bell. If you're on, if you're listening to the audio version on Podbean, Stitcher, iTunes, Google Play, subscribe. Let people know that, you know, I'm not that bad. I've been an entertainer. And the hair's gotten better over the years, maybe. And finally, if you want to support me and my endeavors, including some exclusive stuff every now and then, some writing every now and then, check out my Patreon, patreon.com/PatContry. Again, the pre-Kickstarter pre-orders for Ultimate Nintendo Guide to the SNES Library is coming soon. It'll probably come in July, and I'm going to be on Twitch in July as well. Mark my words, from Castle Country Live. Thanks, everyone. I'll see you in 2028 when all my hair is white, and I'll probably have the same Hawaiian Punch shirt I'm wearing right now, because nostalgia is what fuels my soul, and maybe yours as well, because it makes us go back to a time that we remember fondly. And we get away from the hustle and bustle of being an adult. Being an adult's not always fun, but it should be fun. Give yourself time to relax and enjoy life. Time off by yourself or with friends or your partner or whatever else, your family. And try to slow down every now and then. It's something I'm going to start doing as well. I'm still going to work on projects, but I'm not going to kill myself as badly as I have the past few years, because I want to be able to enjoy life as I steamroll towards my 40th spin around the sun. So take care, everyone. Wish me well eating all my Drake's cakes and tasty cakes and some surprises in store too in the future. So look out for that NES Punk 10th anniversary video. Hope you enjoy it. Take care.